I don't have a text verse to go off of, so I will get to scripture in just a moment, but I do have a little bit of an introduction, so just turn anywhere you like, it's all good. But we'll have a word of prayer, and I'll give a little bit of introduction, then we'll look at a few passages of scripture, but I'm not springing off or starting with basically a text, but I want to talk with you a little bit tonight about, are you an encourager? Now, that's so much is missing in our world today, not just in our churches, but in our world, of those who want and desire and willing to be an encourager. Too often, I'm afraid of, we talk more about people behind their backs as opposed to talking to people, trying to be a blessing, trying to be an encouragement, trying to lift them up, trying some way to be a blessing. You know, we don't know what other people are going through. Let me, this is all free. Not even, I haven't got them outlined yet. Let me encourage you. When I was a teenager, I was challenged by my youth pastor to go to the mall, to find me a place to sit down and observe people. I'm not going to go through all the reasons that he had me to do it, but I'm just saying, just observe people. And I can tell you that story another time, why he did it and what I did and what my results were. But have you ever sat somewhere, whether it be at a meal at a restaurant or out somewhere in public or even here, one of the benches here out in front of the church, and just sit and watch and observe people? Now, we can speculate and we see people that are joyful and happy. Other times we see people walking by in the mall that look discouraged. Now, we have no idea what people are going through at any given time. We all face hardships, discouragements. We all get our toes stepped on. We all at times get our feelings hurt. We all at times just have a rough day. And it's bad enough, especially as believers, to compound others that may be having a bad day by being a discourager or critic as opposed to being an encourager. Encouragement, simply put, is the act of inspiring others with renewed courage, renewed spirit, or renewed hope. Just think about it. Wouldn't it a blessing to think when somebody comes by and says something to you or tries to encourage you and they give you new courage? They regenerate your spirits and they give you a new hope. Why not be willing to do the same thing for someone else? Some of the greatest leaders in Scripture and in history struggled with severe discouragement or depression. Some even in our Bible. A quick read of the Psalms reveals that David's emotional ups and downs. At times, David was a crybaby. I mean, he was an emotional roller coaster. And he's not the only one. Moses became so overwhelmed with his responsibility that he wanted to die. Numbers chapter 11 and verse number 15. Job was nearly swallowed up in hopelessness. Boy, have you ever read the book of Job? Boy, those three friends were some kind of friends, weren't they? Elijah became full of self-pity, but he was also a great prayer warrior. James chapter 5, verse 17 through 18 reminds us that. But yet still, at times, full of self-pity. Woe is me. I'm thankful the Lord dealt gently with these men. I'm grateful the Lord provided a way of comfort and sent someone to them to encourage them. Or like David in many places, a place to go to, an instrument to play, and a heart for music to sing. Spurgeon endured frequent seasons of depression. Anybody else know that other than me? It's great. Battled with depression. Severely. Died in his 50s, I believe. As did Hudson Taylor, John Bunyan, William Carey, and others, all battle with discouragement and depression. I wonder how often the people encourage them. See, discouragement is common for all, everyone, for a variety of reasons, including medical, emotional, or spiritual. But there is often an added dimension of physical and emotional exhaustion and spiritual warfare for those whose lives are centered around ministry, those whose life is centered around others and serving other people. We should strive to be an encourager of others, and especially preachers and their families. When we have a guest pastor or a guest preacher or a guest missionary or evangelist, I've been so proud and grateful for how we've treated them. And I think it's something that should be ongoing to be a source of blessing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 18, it says, "Wherefore comfort or encourage one another with these words." Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13, "But exhort or encourage one another daily." And then Hebrews 10:25, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting or encouraging one another. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much, and thank you for your goodness, the blessing of joy, of fellowship and service. Lord, help us as we take a little time tonight to study and look at some scripture and look at some thoughts and ideas, and Lord, that we might be able to implement to be a better source of being an encouragement to others. Lord, helping us realizing, knowing that at times we need to be encouraged, and maybe some of those times that we are encouraged is a good time to take notes how we were encouraged that we might use to encourage others. Now, Father, bless our time together. We do ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. To be an encourager, we need to understand the how and the why of the ministry of encouragement. Every church has ministers. We have everywhere from the pastor on down, the ushers, the deacons, those who work in the sound room, teach Sunday school, work in children's church, those who work behind the scenes, unseen often and maybe very seldom thanked. Thank you, Miss Carol, and others are involved in helping cleaning the prophet's room and doing those other things. Those who sign up to clean the church. Those who are here that work in the landscape and work out in the yard. Those who are here to greet. So often things take place that we have no idea that took place, but yet there are. There's folks in our church that seem to be here, it seems like, all the time. When I get thanked, sometimes I think I get here early and someone else is already here. Sometimes I think I'm one of the last ones to leave, but look around, there's another car or two still in the parking lot. Those that enjoy being around, when we're enjoying being around and we're here, we're serving others, we're also, I think, sometimes subject to being attacked. You see, things are going well. Sometimes we need to look around and wonder to ourselves, are we really serving? Are we in the fight? It's when the old devil gets in and tries to stir up problems, we can be assured that he is not happy with what's going on. But no matter how things are going, whether it be good, bad, or indifferent, there's always a ministry and a place for those to be encourager. So let's take a look at what is effective encouragement. First of all, just a couple things, and I'll share a few points and we'll be done. First of all, what we sense. What we sense. Focus attention lets you know people really care. It lets you know that they're not concerned about anything or anyone else for the moment. In other words, you have their undivided attention. They are there for you. Focused attention feels good and it's encouraging. That's why it's so important. I do my best, and I'm not always successful, but I do my best when I'm talking with someone to make sure they have my undivided attention. Sometimes it's hard today, and I enjoyed in our, well, I shouldn't say today, today's society. There's one thing I enjoyed about this last vacation that we had the opportunity to get away with. That I left that Wednesday night. My phone was already on vibrate before the services started. I never took it back off vibrate until we came back to Arizona. All the night it was on silent. The phone was quiet. I checked my phone on occasion, a few text messages and emails here and there, but I wanted to truly take some time away and just, I wanted to encourage myself, so to say. And sometimes we need that. What we sense, or do we focus our attention on others when they need our attention, or are we distracted? And I've mentioned before, I had a pastor in the past who was always so good about, no matter what was going on, no matter what was being done, if a child or young person come by and wanted their attention, he said, excuse me, I'll be right back with you. And he would turn around and kneel down or talk to that young person. He wanted the children, the youth, and the others to know that they could get their pastor's attention. They could get whatever adult's attention was needed, and they needed that. Do we give that type of sense, what we sense? And the next, what we hear. When someone genuinely cares about me, their words can be very powerful. See, the old adage goes, nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. Do people know that you care? Do people know that you're involved and encouraged? You know, I'm an emotional guy myself, and I got a chance to listen to the preaching this past week when I was gone with Brother Enoch. And Brother Enoch, we have some things in common. We're weepers at times. Brother Enoch just shares his whole soul when he's preaching and teaching. What a blessing and encouragement. And it's good to have those type of emotion as people, just what we hear. Proverbs 12:25 tells us, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. See, your words of encouragement can literally pour encouragement into the heart. It's not just what we sense, but also what we hear and how we encourage others by listening. And then what we read. I am encouraged not only by what I sense and by what I hear, but also by what I read. It's good to know that I have someone that's listening to me when I'm talking to them. Someone that I know that I sense that I have their undivided attention. But then also that aspect of what we read, that little note. One of the greatest tools of encouragement is what you write to someone. See, believe it or not, two or three sentences could turn a person's life around. A note here, or a little card here. And so many of you are so good at that. I know since I've been your pastor, I've received numerous cards and numbers, cards and little notes either put under my door if the door is closed or put on my desk if the door is open. Some of them anonymously and some signed by who they are from. And they've been such a blessing. A source of encouragement. Do we really hear what people are trying to say and communicate? Do we sense from them that we have their undivided attention? And that aspect, again, of what we read, a note, a card, a few words can go a long way to encourage someone in a time of need. And also what we feel. Have you ever noticed how often in the New Testament that Jesus touched people? I mean, he was a personal Savior. And I know today we have to be careful, but Matthew 8:15, and he touched her hand and the fever left her. In Matthew 20:34, so Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. And then again in Luke 22:51, and he touched his ear and healed him. And I know in today's society we have to be really careful, but sometimes a good handshake can mean a lot. Sometimes it's a gentle pat on the back or a light embrace. Again, sometimes it's putting your arm around a brother or sister in Christ and giving them a little squeeze, letting them know how much you appreciate them and how much you care for them. See, we have all at one time or another had the experience of a dead battery in our car, and I hear it happens quite a bit here in Arizona in the summer. I went out, I've already got my little charger, already plugged it in, charged it up, and it's sitting in the back of the truck. I told Michelle, if her battery dies, well, call me, I'll come get you. No, but I've got one in the truck, it's ready to go. But sometimes people need a jump start as well. The ministry of encouragement is like the car that comes alongside of your car and gives you a jump start. The strength of the charged battery is transferred from the strength to the weak battery, and then the inoperative car is rejuvenated into action and ready to go. This summer, let me encourage you to think about who might have a spiritual dead battery that you might pull up alongside of to be a source of encouragement, to jumpstart of encouragement into their life. Some time ago, I made it a habit as a pastor to do my best, and I'll be doing this here and going forward as I have opportunity and I know about it. If I don't know, I don't know. But in the past, anytime anyone in the church that I've ever ministered to or pastored, or even friends that didn't go to our church or someone that I knew, and I knew their spouse was having surgery, I knew a family member was having surgery, I would offer to go with them and sit with them. I would offer to meet them for a meal that morning before surgery and just sit with them while their spouse or their family member is having surgery, just to be there. And so often I would sit there with someone in a waiting room, and at times it was a time where it was nerve-wracking, very nervous and not wondering how things would go. And maybe it might be an hour or two where no words were even said, just sitting there and being there. And so often those people would reply and just be overwhelmingly thank you for being there. And I thought to myself, well, I didn't say anything. I didn't do anything. But the comment was made, yes, but you were there. Sometimes just being there, showing up. That word and sense of kindness, that card, that note, or letting them know, reaching out and touching that handshake, or the hand on the shoulder, letting them know that you care. Without a doubt, just like our batteries in our car may struggle this summer, we as well, others that we know, may need someone to come alongside to give them a word of encouragement, to jumpstart them, to help them along their way, to be a source of encouragement. So what can we do to jumpstart or lift the burdens of others? Just a couple things here tonight, four or five things, and we'll be through. Number one, provide some grace. Now, we've all benefited from grace. Why is it so easy to receive but sometimes so hard to give? See, you might not know the full story of or ramification of what someone is going through. All too often, we set opinions based on a snapshot from social media or some other limited frame of reference. Why not simply assume there's more than the situation that we could possibly know. And just be willing to provide some grace. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 and verses 7 says, charity beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Dear friends, sometimes just that jump start just means bestowing and progressing or giving some grace unto someone else. Not only provide some grace, but number two, provide intercessory prayer. Praying on the behalf of others. No, it's good and wonderful to know that we have a prayer list and to know that others are praying for me. But when's the last time we let someone know in that note that, hey, thought about this week, praying for you. I started doing something here a couple of years ago, and I'll start picking up again a little more often, but I do it on occasion. The first time I did it, I thought to myself, you know, I don't know, this might be a little tacky. I'm not quite sure this is right, but I did it anyway. And what I did is I thought of someone and they were going through a hard time and wasn't able to reach them by phone. So I sent them a text message, let them know that I was thinking about them and let them know that I was praying for them. And I typed out my prayer and said, amen, and sent it. Didn't think much about it. And later they came back by and said, you know, preacher, I know it was a text message. I wasn't there to hear it, but that meant so much to me. No, that's others. We can do the same thing. This aspect of that, providing some grace, but providing to let someone know that, hey, thought about you this morning, and I prayed for you. You realize that time that you take is set aside, and you bow your head, bow a knee, or sitting in a place of comfort, or sitting somewhere, or even driving down the road, and you take the time, and you give it to the Lord, give it to someone on behalf of them to the Lord in prayer. That's something that's very meaningful. See, that time that you give to someone else in prayer, you can never have that back. You're voluntarily giving it. And we should accept that knowing when someone prays for us that they took the time that they could never get back to go before the throne of grace on my behalf. For me, that's intercessory prayer. Genuinely spending time interceding on their behalf. Dear friends, you may not know the full scope again of what they are going through, but the Lord knows exactly what they're going through. Ask the Lord to uphold and help them to give you an opportunity to minister to them and a source of grace, His grace to them. Folks, I'm sure you've experienced this. But have you not ever bowed your head because someone asked you to pray specifically? They had an unspoken request, or maybe they had a specific request, but it was kind of narrow, and you didn't really know how to pray. But once you begin praying, the Holy Spirit just took over and you knew exactly what to pray. You knew exactly what to plead for. That's a form of intercessory prayer. And the Spirit of God guides us and helps us to pray on the behalf of our brother and sister in Christ. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12 says, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Provide some grace. Provide intercessory prayer. And then number three, provide a way to make contact. Boy, today that's so easy. With cell phones and computers and technology, it's easy to make contact. Send a note of encouragement. I mentioned this earlier. Perhaps a letter or an email or a text message. Make a phone call. Rather than talking about someone to others, talk to them and let them know that you care for them. I know I enjoyed our services today. It was so good to be back and shaking hands and talking with the people. And I met one of the families in the back that was invited by one of our other church members. And they had, their brother and maybe their nephew with them. And I shook their hand and welcomed them. And she just smiled so big. She said, you know, this has got to be the friendliest church I've ever been to. I have shaken more hands today than I have in months and weeks. And all that made me feel good and made me think to myself, obviously it was an encouragement because her face was lit up. She wasn't complaining about having a sore arm from shaking hands. She was encouraged that people cared enough to say hello, to shake their hand, to give them a word greeting. Ask how you can best pray. Share a word of encouragement. Be a minister of grace with your words to them. Yes, provide some grace. A good way to give someone a good jump start this summer. They could be discouraged, but a little bit of grace could be a great help. Provide intercessory prayer. Provide a way to make contact. Again, that phone call, that letter, maybe even, and I'll get to this maybe again later, swinging by when you drive somewhere just to say hello. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 25 says, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. We read that earlier. But a good word maketh it glad. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Oh, how we live in a generation, a time where we can provide the providing a way of contact is so easy. So often, I don't know, have you ever driven down the road and had a thought and wonder how so-and-so was as you drove by their house? What if you had the time and just stopped by and went in for a cup of coffee? Stop by for a few moments just to say hello. Hey, just passing by, just wanted to say hello and let you know how much I appreciate you and wonder how they're doing. Who knows, they may invite you in. They may be getting ready to have fried chicken, taters, and gravy and biscuits. You might get a good benefit out of it. Just started by being a blessing, and now they're going to be a blessing to you in return. Make it an effort. These hot days are coming. At least that's what you keep telling me. I know they're coming. I know tempers flare. I know people get upset. But what people need is not another angry person, but it's someone with a kind word, a healthy handshake, a smile, a word of encouragement, and just letting someone simply know, hey, I'm praying for you. How can I pray for you? Number four, provide a meaningful gift. I know we can't always do things as much as we'd like, and I know sometimes it can get expensive. I live in a large family. I don't know how many checks I've written out this past week for high school graduates with nephews and grandsons and other family members. But no, there are some things that we can do that cost very little to nothing. Even, I've gotten away from, and my wife sometimes will say I'm just cheap, but I'm really not. I've gotten away sometimes from even buying cards for birthdays and anniversaries, Valentine's. I've gotten to times here lately that I've made my own. Just made them myself. I've got a cousin, Dorcas. And we always called her Cookie growing up. And then I got really mean. I don't call her Dorcas. I call her Dork-us. But Dorcas is a sweetheart. And there's not an occasion that goes by that she doesn't make a homemade card and send it out to people. In her church, family members, us, I've received the benefits of often receiving little cards from her and little things from her just as a source of encouragement. And it seems like they always come right on time. Send a book that has been an encouragement to you. Send a gift card or a gift. It doesn't have to be extravagant, just something to show that you care. Here, I got a text message from my brother the other day. Haven't heard from him in a while. It was so good to hear from him. He said, hey, you bought me a book about 2 or 3 years ago, and I can't remember the name, and I've already given it to somebody else. Do you remember what it is? I want to buy several more of those to give to a few friends. You know, I thought to myself, you know, I didn't realize that that little gift that I gave my brother, because I was thinking about it, meant so much to him that he wanted to be a blessing that he gave his copy to someone else. And then later, 3 years later, something else comes up again and reminds him of that book. He goes, I need some of those because I want to give them. He wants to buy them in bulk to give out to be a blessing. Provide a meaningful gift. Sometimes that meaningful gift could be just a piece of paper, a card that I mentioned, a homemade card, or even go down by the dollar store and grab several little thank you cards or cards of encouragement or cards of thank you or whatever it may be. I mean, they're cheap. They're only a dollar. Well, I guess they went up to a dollar and a quarter, didn't they? But but they're there. And it's inexpensive way, an easy way. You don't even have to necessarily always put a stamp on it. But sometimes that is good too, because I hear that Brother Allen loves to get things in the mail. He would rather you send it through the mail than just hand it to him. Am I right? We talked about that, I think, last month. Just getting a card in the mail, finding a note on your desk or pew at church or whatever the case may be. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 18. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which are sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Providing that simple, meaningful gift. No, I had the privilege, and please, I don't need all the credit, but it makes it easier for me, but I enjoy when we have the birthday cards. We buy them in bulk. Michelle makes it easy for me. She writes your name on it, puts the card by the envelope, and then puts it on my desk for your birthdays and anniversaries. I take the time, I read the card. Sometimes I'll put a note or a smiley face and I sign my name and I pause a moment and I say, Lord, bless them. Lord, what a blessing to hear they've been married all these years. Lord, what a blessing you've given them another year together, given them another birthday. And I sign those cards and put them together, put a stamp on them and put them over in the box and send them out. You know, it means as much to me, I hope you know, I hope as much as it means to you, just taking that moment to say a little prayer and saying, asking the Lord to bless. For a time there, I thought about just taking the cards and bringing them to the church. And this is where I got the cue from Brother Allen. And was just going to bring them to the church and give them to people that come around. And Brother Allen said, you know, preacher, I like it when I get a card in the mail. I'm encouraged when I get something in the mail. To me, it's just a little more oomph when you get it in the mail as opposed to when you just hand it to someone. So I went out and bought a bunch of stamps. Started mailing them out instead. But it takes a team effort as we work together some of these things. But why not, again, as these hot summer months are coming our way or weeks, remember, provide some grace, provide some intercessory prayer, provide a way to make contact, provide a meaningful gift. You just don't know how much it will mean and how far it goes to someone. It just seems like God has a way of allowing it to come in the mail at the right time. A time of encouragement, time of refreshing and lifting up. Number five, provide your physical presence. I'm not talking about just being there that you can be seen, but being there. There's something about being physically present with someone that means more than an email or a text message or even a letter. Maybe you are within driving distance. You can stop by someone's home or provide a note or a gift in person. God may use your presence to bring comfort and change a time of depression and discouragement into uplifting and excitement and joy into someone's life. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 6, nevertheless God that comforteth those that are cast down comforteth us by the coming of Titus. Nevertheless God that comforteth those that are cast down. So often we need encouragement. And sometimes we beg the Lord to provide that encouragement. And sometimes God provides that through our prayers, through a time of need. But also sometimes God sends somebody by to be a source of a blessing and encouragement. Why not let it be you? That still small voice nudges you, causes you to think about brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so. Maybe there's a reason. Maybe there's a purpose that God has brought you to your heart and to your mind. When someone is going through a difficult time, they need us to come alongside and to lift their burden. Sometimes that is showing grace. Sometimes it's that personal touch or giving their attention or just sitting there and listening to them. Rather than speculating from 1,000 miles away about if they are under stress because they are working in the flesh or made poor decisions in their past or in the present, ask, what can I do to be a burden bearer? Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2 says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. But we live in a world today where people are hurting, those who know the Lord and those who don't know the Lord. At least those of us who know the Lord know that we have friends and family and church family that are praying for us. But those who don't know the Lord, they feel things are hopeless. And we live at a time right now in our country, not just in America, but worldwide, where the suicide rate is higher than it's ever been. I know that our population is higher as well, but statistically, percentages are still higher. We are on more medication, more counseling, and more things for people struggling with mental health. And I'm not trying to criticize any of the things. Just bear with me. People also need a smiling face, a firm handshake, a pat on the back, a word of acknowledgement, or just knowing that you're there with them. I shared the illustration some weeks back about my girls, especially Kayla, the one that lives here locally, would come up and sit on the recliner, want to talk with me. She would want to make sure that she has my undivided attention. She put her hands on my face and say, Daddy, I want you to see my lips. I want you to hear my words when I talk to you. You know, sometimes people need to know without having to do that, that they have our undivided attention. I'm not just here in body. I'm right here with you. How can I help? Being a listener. Sometimes it might just be sitting there and helping them cry. Not knowing what's going on, not knowing the why, just knowing my brother and my sister is hurting. Nothing I can do, but I can sit and I can weep with them. We don't know the circumstance, but here comes that summer. Here comes that heat. Here comes the tempers flaring. Here comes all that goes on with the world and things that happen, not just here, but all across the U.S. You see the news when these hot waves come in, the crime rate goes up, all these things happen because people are at their worst. Let's make a decision tonight with all that's coming on, whether it's good weather, bad weather. I'm going to come prepared. I'm going to leave my home. In my mind, I know I've got that little carrier in the back of my truck that I can jump start my truck or a few other vehicles at any given moment. But I'm going to go prepared in my heart and my mind to come along someone who's hurting and jumpstart them spiritually, to encourage them, to come alongside, to extend that grace. Even though they don't want the help, even though they may act like they don't want the help, I'm going to be there just to give an encouraging word. And if I'm there long enough that I can tolerate me, I'll do more. If not, I'll move along. But I'm going to do my best, and I'm going to start my day and say, Lord, I'm going to give a charge. I'm going to give a jump start. I'm going to be a blessing. I'm going to be a help. And Lord, I'm going to trust you that when I need it, one of my brothers, one of my sisters are going to come alongside of me to give me the jump that I need. Real quick tonight, and we'll be finished. Remember quickly, provide some grace. Provide intercessory prayer as needed. Provide a way to make contact. Provide a meaningful gift when and where you can. And provide your physical presence. So often, the biggest part is just showing up. I'll use a sports analogy and I'll be done. We can practice all week. Throw the ball around the horn. Take batting practice. Take infield. But unless we show up to the game, there'll be no game. And all my life of playing ball, I think that the other team forfeited one game because there wasn't enough people that showed up. We decided to play anyway. We divided part of our team, gave them to them, and we had a game anyway. We didn't want to be totally discouraged, but to them, at least they still got to play and be involved in the game. So often, even with Christianity, a good large percentage of it is just showing up. And then once you show up, extend that grace. Make that contact. Give them your undivided attention. Make your words or notes meaningful. And make sure they understand and they realize that you're there. Not just throwing out words, but you're there with them to make a difference. Oh, how our world, not just Christians, how our world needs Christians to not only treat each other that way, but to treat others that way. Oh, what a difference we can make. Let's see what we can do to come alongside one another as we need it to jumpstart one another. But as a group, as a church, let's see what we can do to come alongside others that need a charge or come alongside others that need to be introduced to Jesus. And let's extend that grace and make a difference in the life of others. Let's pray. Father, again, we love you and thank you for your mercy and for your grace, the privilege of service. Lord, the privilege of just knowing, Lord, that you're there for us. There's not a thing that's going on in the world today. There's nothing that would take away your attention to me when I simply call out, Lord, and I begin to pray, I have your undivided attention. Lord, help us to be willing to be the same way in others. Help us to be attentive. Help us to be alert. Help us to recognize others that may be hurting in a time of need, that we might be able to extend some grace to make a difference, to come alongside, to give them a jump start, and be a blessing to them. Father, help us to make a difference. And Father, let us face and prepare for this summer, Lord, not for a summer slump, but Father, for a summer jump and to make a difference in the life of others. For we ask these things in Christ's name with thanksgiving. Amen. All right, again, the Lord.